Hello, welcome back to another episode of Fantasize Me, the podcast where I take characters real or imagined, and I fantasize them as D&D characters. I'm your host, Zach Katz.
And today, we are going to be turning Julia Child into a D&D character. Bon appétit!
So, for those of you who don't know, Julia Child was... She was a chef. A very famous chef who kind of revolutionized cooking in America and even the world. She's famous for bringing French cuisine specifically to the American public because she wrote a cookbook, Mastering the Art of French Cooking, which was a cookbook that brought French cooking into the homes of Americans. You know, she made the recipes with help of a couple friends that were these amazing, amazing French dishes that you could just make at home. You didn't have to be a master chef in order to have gorgeous French meals. So Julia Child was born as Julia Carolyn McWilliams in Pasadena, California in 1912. Now Julia Child was 6'2", a tall drink of water, okay? And she went to Smith College in Northampton, Massachusetts, where she graduated in 1934 with a major in history. And after the time she graduated, she wanted to become a novelist. She wanted to write, and that's part of what she ended up doing. But she moved to New York City, where she worked for a time as a copywriter. Julia joined the Office of Strategic Services in 1942. Office of Strategic Services, the OSS, was a kind of precursor to the CIA. And she joined that because she was too tall to enlist in the Women's Army Corps. She was too tall. So she started her career in this intelligence agency as a typist at its headquarters in Washington, D.C. But because of her education and her experience in writing, she was given a more responsible position as a top secret researcher working directly for the head of the OSS. So she's, you know, famous for being this beautiful chef. She was like a freaking secret agent. She was a freaking secret agent. And listen to this, okay? For a year, Julia worked at the OSS Emergency Sea Rescue Equipment Section in Washington, D.C. as a file clerk, then as an assistant to developers of a shark repellent. A shark repellent was needed because sharks kept getting in the way of underwater explosives targeting German U-boats. This is during World War II. So she had to work to create this shark repellent so that sharks, you know, curious sharks, wouldn't blow up these freaking missiles. Is that what they're called when they're underwater? Yeah, right? They don't have another name. Do they? It doesn't matter. You know what I mean. Anyway, Julia's solution to create the shark repellent was to experiment with cooking various concoctions as a shark repellent. So she made these concoctions that were sprinkled in the water near the explosives to see if they repelled sharks. And still in use today, the experimental shark repellent marked Child's first foray into the world of cooking. Because before this, I mean, I don't know if I would consider that the start of her cooking career. But Julia grew up in a family with a cook, and she didn't really do any of the cooking. She didn't observe, she didn't learn cooking from this family cook. But this is marked as her first foray into the world of cooking, and the experimental shark repellent is still in use today. That's amazing. 1944, 1945, Julia was posted to what's now Sri Lanka, where her responsibilities included registering, cataloging, and channeling a great volume of highly classified communications. Yes. For the OSS's clandestine stations in Asia, and she was later posted to China, where she received the emblem of meritorious civilian service as head of the registry of the OSS Secretariat. So she was like a... she was like an important figure in this intelligence agency. While she was in what is now Sri Lanka, she met Paul Cushing Child, who is also an OSS employee, and the two of them got married on September 1st, 1946. Because, I mean, you saw that coming. His last name was Child, and she's Julia Child. But her husband, Paul, joined the United States Foreign Service, and in 1948, the couple moved to Paris after the State Department assigned Paul there as an exhibits officer with the United States Information Agency. So they were transferred to Paris, where she fell in love with food. Paul had a very sophisticated palate, and he introduced Julia to what food can be at its peak. Julia repeatedly talked about a Meunier story, and it was her first meal at La Couronne in Rouen in France, and she describes it as a culinary revelation. It was a meal of oysters, sole Meunier, and fine wine, and she described it to the New York Times as an opening up of the soul and spirit for me. And I do that voice because that's kind of what she sounded like, which is great. Very distinct voice. In 1951, she graduated from the famous Cordon Bleu, a cooking school in Paris. She joined the women's cooking club, Le Cercle des Gourmets, through which she met Simone Beck. Simone Beck is the one who would go on to help her write Mastering the Art of French Cooking and the sequel, Mastering the Art of French Cooking 2. I think that's what it's called. I'll double check. But anyway, so very, very big chef was, you know, secret agent Julia. Now she is Chef Julia Child. So her media career really started with the book Mastering the Art of French Cooking, which she wrote with her friend Simone Beck and one other person who, you know, their friendship kind of fizzled out. But this book was a bestseller and received critical acclaim. And it's because she made French cooking accessible to an American audience, which before now had not been done. If you wanted delicious French cuisine, you either forked over a ton of cash for an amazing restaurant, or you had to just go to France. But now, oh, you can make sole Meunier yourself. Delicious. In 1961, Julia Child appeared on a book review show on the TV network WGBH. And on this show, she went to talk about her book, but she's like, hey, being in front of the camera, cooking, because she didn't really talk about her book, from my understanding. She demonstrated of how to cook an omelet, a French omelet, on the show, which is just something people had not done before. You didn't cook on TV. So she made her own program, The French Chef, which was a, you know, instructional cooking show, an educational show where she would teach the viewers at home how to cook these incredible French meals. She wasn't the first cook to be televised and have their, you know, television show, but she was the most widely seen. She was the most famous. She attracted such a broad audience with her cheery enthusiasm, her distinctively warbly voice, and her just unpatronizing way of how she cooked. It was very, she cooked unedited. So all of her gaffes and faux pas were kept in, and she would, you know, laugh them off and be like, well, you know, these sort of things happen even to professionals. It's okay to make mistakes. And her show, The French Chef, became the first television program to be captioned for the deaf, which is very cool. God, there's so much stuff about her. I can just keep talking about her. But French Chef was huge, and she went on to star in a bunch of other television programs, including Julia Child and Company, Julia Child and More Company, and Dinner at Julia's. She won the National Book Award in the category of Current Interest for her 1979 book, Julia Child and More Company, thus named after her TV show, Julia Child and More Company. In 1981, she founded the American Institute of Wine and Food with a couple of vintners to advance the understanding, appreciation, and quality of wine and food. During the AIDS crisis in 1980s, she became a passionate AIDS activist, which was a turn for her, because she had these sort of homophobic views, which a lot of people mirrored. But during the AIDS crisis, a close, you know, associate of hers succumbed to AIDS, and this really inspired her to become this AIDS activist. I mean, that woman worked. Okay, she always had like 5 projects going at once. One thing I do want to mention before we actually turn her into a D&D character, there's a story where Julia Child and professional chef Jacques Pepin were guests on an NBC talk show. And the segment was supposed to be, you know, Julia and Jacques preparing food. But before the taping, Julia cut herself. She sliced her finger. And they went on doing the taping with her finger bandaged. Then afterwards, she had to go to the hospital to receive sutures on her sliced finger. And this was picked up by Saturday Night Live, who thought it would be a really funny sketch. So Julia is parodied by Dan Aykroyd, a fan of Julia Child himself. And in the sketch, Aykroyd, acting as Julia Child, cuts his thumb and just starts bleeding profusely all over all of the food, you know, still trying to continue the cooking show. And I mention this because apparently Julia Child had a video cassette copy of the episode, and she reportedly loved this sketch so much she showed it to friends at parties. Oh, that's good. That's great. I mean, there's so much more I could talk about with Julia Child. You know, you can go and see her kitchen. Her kitchen is on display, actually, at the National Museum of American History in Washington, D.C., which is amazing, because 3 of her television shows were set in her kitchen, and her kitchen was actually designed by her husband, who had to have the counters raised so that she wouldn't hurt her back, you know, 6'2", stooping over these short counters. Anyway, okay. I really like Julia Child. She's fabulous. But the purpose of this podcast is not to just talk about the subject, it's to turn them into a D&D character. Okay? So now that we know a bit about Julia Child's background, let's give her a background. So what do we think would be fitting for her? I think, you know, her background, she went to school for history. She was a, you know, super secret spy. So we have options. But, you know, I really like the idea of her spy background. So we are going to give her the spy background. So with the spy background, she's going to gain skill proficiencies in deception and stealth, as well as tool proficiencies in a disguise kit and forgery kit. Secret agent Julia Child, jet-setting around the world, wearing beautiful disguises, masquerading as whomever. To my knowledge, she did not wear disguises, but this is D&D. She's gonna wear some disguises. So we have her background, spy. Now let's pick a race. What race do we think is very upbeat? Because, you know, Julia Child was known for her upbeat, positive nature, this kind of energy, this aura of positivity and enthusiasm that she exuded. And while working for the OSS, Julia received an award that cited her many virtues, including her drive and inherent cheerfulness. So what do we think is just an inherently cheerful race? I'm thinking maybe like halfling. Halflings always seem pretty cheery to me. But she was very tall. A tall, cheerful race. I mean, any race can be cheerful. This is a tough one, I gotta be honest. A lot of these races that I'm looking at just don't seem right for Julia Child. Should I just make her a human? Man, when in doubt, go human, right? Elf. Elves are tall. No, alright. I'm gonna go variant human so that she can get a feat. So, as a variant human, she gains proficiency in 1 skill of her choice. So, 1 skill of her choice. Let's see. Let's do investigation, because she was a spy. And she also investigated how to repel sharks from explosives. She's going to gain 1 feat of her choice. And I think that one is going to be very easy to choose. We are going to give her gourmand. So this increases her constitution score by 1. She gains proficiency with cook's utensils. As an action, she can inspect a drink or plate of food within 5 feet of her and determine whether it's poisoned. Also, during a long rest, she can prepare and serve a meal that helps her and her allies recover from the rigors of adventuring. The meal serves up to 6 people, and each person who eats it regains 2 additional hit dice at the end of the long rest. In addition, those who partake in the meal have advantage on con saves against disease for the next 24 hours. That's awesome. That's so cool. And, you know, obviously very fitting for Julia Child. Also, as a variant human, she's going to know common and an additional language of her choice. So let's do common and elvish, because in my games, elvish is typically, it's typically French, because I speak French, and elvish is like the second most common language that comes up in my games. So it's, you know, it's all French to me. Anyway, beautiful. So now that we have her background spy and her race, variant human, we can roll for stats. So that's when you take a d6, a 6-sided die, roll it 4 times, drop the lowest number, then add up the remaining 3 to get each of her 6 ability scores. Okay, so we're gonna do that 6 times. Looking for a gift for the D&D or TTRPG nerd in your life? Look no further than We Print Miniatures. We Print Miniatures has a huge range of over 3,000 miniatures that they can print on demand and send to you or your loved ones, or even people you just sort of like. Check them out at weprintminiatures.com, and at checkout, use promo code FANTASIZEMEPOD to get 10% off your entire order. I love that for you. Okay, so I rolled for Julia. She started out rough. She got a 5, a 12, 15, 13, 15, and 14. So everything aside from the 5 is pretty good. 10 is like what an average person would have. And, you know, 5 out of 6 are a lot higher and 1 is a lot lower. So I have to decide not just what she's bad in, but what she's terrible in. Okay, all right, let's do reverse order process of elimination here. So her highest stat, oh man, I think highest stat is dexterity. So 15 to dexterity, and I think that's the highest because, you know, a lot of meticulous use of tools, I would say, uses dexterity. You don't have to be especially dexterous, but I think, you know, being a professional chef and also, you know, typing on a typewriter, that's a lot of dexterity and coordination. So 15 dexterity. Let's also do 15 in constitution, because she ate so much butter, and from what I read, she always seemed to be in very good health. So next, 14. Let's do 14 to strength. A strong woman. Next, there is a 13 and a 12. I say 13 to charisma. She had this charisma about her. Okay, now we have to choose. Man, that 5 really sucks, huh? We have to choose, do we want her to be really stupid or really unwise? Which do we think she was more, intelligent or wisdom? I don't know. She seemed really wise, but she was an educated woman. All right. Oh, all right. Let's do 12 intelligence, 5 wisdom. Oh my god. I am gonna have to use like every ability score improvement we get to bump up that wisdom. That sucks. That really sucks for her. All right. So as a variant human, she gets a plus. It says like plus 1 to 2 stats, but I'm just gonna do what every other race has pretty much, which is plus 2 to one stat and plus 1 to another. So let's increase. Oh man. All right. Oh, this is a tough one. I think I'm gonna increase charisma by 2 to bring that to a 15, which is now a plus 2 modifier. And we'll do a plus 1 to, let's do a plus 1 to wisdom to bring that to a 6, which is still very bad. It is a negative 2 modifier, but that means it's not negative 3. 5 would have been negative 3, now it's just negative 2. Oh man. And also from the gourmand fee, her constitution goes up by 1 to a 16. So, there. Like, Her starting stats are pretty good. It's just that wisdom's bumming me out, man. So her starting stats are 14 strength, 15 dexterity, 16 constitution, 12 intelligence, 6 wisdom, and 15 charisma. And I could have done those stats differently to make her more viable as a D&D character, but I'm not doing this to, you know, min-max a character. I'm following my heart. I'm you know, turning Julia Child into a D&D character. Anyway, okay, you know that. So, great, now that we have our stats, we can pick her first class. So, I think first class we are going to do... Oh, man, I feel like I pick Rogue for, like, every episode, right? Like, I do Rogue so often. But she was a spy. Man, can I avoid doing Rogue somehow? But also... I was like, let's see, avoid doing Rogue. Maybe I could start with Bard. But I also pick Bard all the time. Rogue and Bard are like my freaking go-tos. Okay. Let me look at her stats. She has +2 to strength, dexterity, and charisma. Oh boy. I think we gotta do it. I think we gotta start with Rogue. I think we're going first level Rogue. Secret Agent Julia Child. So she gains proficiency in light armor with simple weapons, hand crossbows, long swords, rapiers, and short swords, and in thieves' tools. Thieves' tools will go really well with her disguise kit and forgery kit. She's also going to gain proficiency in dexterity and intelligence saving throws. Having proficiency in dexterity saving throws is very good because those are used a lot. She's also going to gain proficiency in 4 skills that she can choose from: acrobatics, athletics, deception, insight, intimidation, investigation, perception, performance, persuasion, sleight of hand, and self. So a lot there. I think we're going to do athletics because she was, you know, she played a lot of sports growing up. She did like sports ball and the like. Performance, as she was a performer. We'll do sleight of hand, because I feel like sleight of hand, that manual dexterity coming into play again of using, you know, using utensils and stuff like that. And, oh, what else? We still have acrobatics, insight, intimidation, perception, persuasion. Well, this is a tough one. I think we're gonna go with not, okay, let's process of elimination again. Not acrobatics. Not intimidation. I don't think perception makes sense for her. How about insight? Let's do insight. So insight uses wisdom, so even with the +2 bonus from her proficiency, that's just going to be a +0, which is hilarious. Incredible. Okay, so first level rogue, she is going to gain expertise. So now Julia can choose 2 of her skill proficiencies and double the proficiency bonus for those. So I think we are going to double performance, bringing that +4 to a +6. And I think sleight of hand, because that just, you know, I know sleight of hand traditionally, I would say, is used for like pickpocketing or swiping things without someone noticing. But this could be, you know, adding in some extra butter when no one's looking, or adding in extra garlic, or maybe, hey, adding in some poison? ? Secret Agent Julia Child? Anyway, so expertise. I love expertise. She's also going to gain sneak attack. So now, once per turn, when Julia Child hits a creature with an attack, she can deal an extra 1d6 damage to the creature if she has advantage on the attack roll, if another enemy of the target's within 5 feet of it, and Julia doesn't have disadvantage on the attack roll. She has to be using a finesse or a ranged weapon, so, you know, she's out there with her rapier, just dealing sneak attack damage. I don't think this is going to be really applicable to her. She didn't do, you know, any fighting. But she can. She's also going to know Thieves' Cant, which is a secret mix of dialect, jargon, and code that allows Julia to hide messages in seemingly normal conversation. And I feel like that is useful for being an agent. And I think that, you know, might be similar to some of the work she did in the OSS, getting messages across. Very cool. Second level rogue, she's going to gain cunning action. So now she can use her bonus action to dash, disengage, or hide. That's great. she can, you know, attack someone with a kitchen knife and then bonus action hide. Oh, this Julia is a wild child. Third level in Rogue, that's going to be her roguish archetype or her rogue subclass. So I think we're definitely going to go inquisitive, because that is spy, that is investigator, that is detective, okay? So she's going to gain three abilities. First is Ear for Deceit. Now, whenever Julia makes an insight check to determine whether a creature is lying, she can treat a roll of 7 or lower on the d20 as an 8. And she needs all the help she can get with those wisdom checks, you know? I mean, she is proficient in insight, but that still means it's a +0. She's also going to get Eye for Detail. So now she can use a bonus action to make a perception check to spot a hidden creature or object, or to make an investigation check to uncover or decipher clues. Again, her perception is terrible, it's -2, so any help she can get to that is gonna be great. Last thing she gets is Insightful Fighting. So now as a bonus action, Julia can make an insight check against a creature she can see that isn't incapacitated, contested by the target's deception check. And if Julia succeeds, she can use her sneak attack against the creature even if she doesn't have advantage on the attack roll, but not if she has disadvantage on it. The benefit lasts for 1 minute or until she uses the feature against a different target, but that's great. Now she doesn't need advantage on the enemy. She can be fighting them one-on-one and still get her sneak attack damage. Again, I don't think she's going to be doing fighting, but now she's very good at this spy craft. Fourth level, let's multi-class. So started in Rogue, we're going to multi-class to... Ooh, let's see, we have so many options. Okay, so I think we have the spy part of Julia Child down. Now I think we have to decide what we want for the rest of her build, because there is no, you know, chef class or chef subclass. There's no TV personality class. So I think we have to decide what we kind of want for our girl Julia. I'm thinking she succeeded despite, you know, a lot of people thinking she would fail. She often talked about, you know, her appearance and not being a very attractive woman and still becoming this face everyone loved to see. So there's this perseverance there. There's this spreading of knowledge. Because she really wanted people to share her love of food. So is there anything that helps with that spread of knowledge? You know, like teaching. Any teaching classes? I don't think so. Oh, this is tough. This is tough. What do we think would fit for Julia? I mean, I did the rogue stuff. I didn't really want to because it doesn't feel like the Julia Child that people know. But she, you know, she was a spy and doing the work of a rogue, essentially, for a while. But now what? I mean, should I just make her a 20th level rogue? That's insane. That's crazy. I'm not gonna do that. F it. I'm just going with Bard. I was considering making her a cleric, but none of the subclasses seemed very fitting. So we're just gonna lean into the performer in Julia and go with Bard. I know I'm always doing rogue and Bard, but these are the characters that get suggested to me. They just seem like lovable scamps, right? So, multiclassing into Bard, she's going to gain proficiency in one skill of her choice and one musical instrument of her choice. For musical instrument, let's do piano, because, I mean, freaking back then, everyone could play the piano. It was like a requirement. If you couldn't play the piano, then you weren't allowed to leave the house. And one skill of her choice, let's do... Oh boy. Oh boy. I think we're gonna do perception, because it's so bad. It's so bad, and perception would help in her spy duties. So I said we were done with the spy stuff, but we can still help it out every now and again. So first level Bard, she is going to gain spellcasting. So now, Julia Child's magic. And the spellcasting ability for all of her Bard spells is going to be Charisma, which is a +2 modifier. So her spell save DC, or what a target has to equal or beat to resist the effects of her spells, is going to be 8 plus her proficiency bonus plus her Charisma modifier. proficiency bonus at 4th level is still just plus 2, so her spell save DC is going to be 12, and her spell attack modifier, proficiency bonus plus charisma modifier, is plus 4. Not very good, but that's okay. Also, as a 1st level bard, she's going to gain bardic inspiration. So now she can use a bonus action on her turn to choose one creature other than herself within 60 feet of her that can hear her to gain a d6 of bardic inspiration. And the creature who has that bardic inspiration can roll the die and add the number rolled to one ability check, attack roll, or saving throw that they make. That's awesome. She can use this feature a number of times equal to her charisma modifier, so twice per long rest. That's great. And Julia Child was an inspiration to many, many, many people, and is still inspiring people, because there's a show out called Julia, or called Julia Child, that's, I think, still airing. She's so inspirational. She's inspiring so many people. 2nd level in Bard, 5th overall, that's going to be Jack of All Trades. So now she can add half her proficiency bonus rounded down to any ability check she makes that doesn't already include her proficiency bonus. So that means everything she's not proficient in gains a plus 1. So, acrobatics, she now has a plus 3 to her acrobatics checks. Look at her go. Also at 2nd level, she gained Song of Rest. So now if Julia or any friendly creatures that can hear her performance regain hit points at the end of a short rest by spending one or more hit dice, each of those creatures regains an extra 1d6 hit points. So during a short rest, we can flavor this as, flavor this, get it? Because she's a chef. We can, instead of singing a song, we can have her cook them a little treat so that they heal an additional 1d6. 3rd level in Bard, 6th overall, that is going to be the Bard College, or the Bard subclass. So what do we think is fitting for Julia Child? I think we're going to go with the College of Eloquence, because I think Julia Child was very eloquent in her own right. Some people might disagree and say she was kind of the opposite of eloquent, but I think her, sticking to her guns and just being unapologetically her is eloquence in and of itself. So as a College of Eloquence bard, she gains Silver Tongue. She's a master at saying the right thing at the right time. When she makes a persuasion check or deception check, she can treat a d20 roll of 9 or lower as a 10. So she has plus 5 to deception, plus 3 to persuasion. So now the lowest she can get for deception is 15, and lowest she can get for persuasion is 13. That's pretty good. She also gets Unsettling Words, which I don't know if is the most fitting for her, but bear with me. As a bonus action, Julia can expend one use of her Bardic Inspiration and choose one creature she can see within 60 feet of her. Julia will roll the Bardic Inspiration die, and the creature has to subtract the number rolled from the next saving throw it makes before the start of Julia's next turn. So Julia can use Unsettling Words as a bonus action, potentially subtract 6 from the creature's next saving throw, and cast something that requires a saving throw, like Charm Person or Thunder Wave to blast them with thunder. She's got options, and I love that. So also as a 3rd level bard, she's going to gain Expertise. That's right, just like rogues get. She can choose 2 more skill proficiencies and double the proficiency bonus. So I say let's do Insight and Perception. Both of those mostly used for the spy stuff, but I think Insight is really good because she has to know her audience, and she kind of spoke about, you have to pick, you as the creator, pick your audience. And if you don't have an audience, then you're talking to nobody. That's paraphrasing a quote from her, but you get the idea. I think Insight will help inform what her audience is or who her audience is. Very fun. Of course, the wisdom is still -2, so even with proficiency bonus doubled, that's just a plus 4 to both insight and perception. Incredible. Let's do 4th level bard. That's going to be an ability score improvement. So we can increase one ability score of her choice by 2, or 2 ability scores of her choice by 1. And I think Let's see, we're really using this charisma now. So let's put one into charisma and one into dexterity, which will boost both of those to a 16, making them plus 3 modifiers now.
Incroyable.
Gorgeous, 5th level in Bard, 8th overall. Her Bardic Inspiration die increases from a D6 to a D8.
Incredible. Much more useful now.
And she also gains Font of Inspiration. And what Font of Inspiration means is that instead of regaining all of her expended uses of Bardic Inspiration during a long rest, she now regains all uses during a short or long rest. So her charisma modifier is plus 3, so she has 3 uses of Bardic Inspiration, and now all 3 uses come back after just an hour of chilling, an hour of hanging out. Maybe she's writing her next cookbook, or making a light snack of bœuf bourguignon. 6th level in Bard, she's going to gain Counter Charm. So now with Counter Charm as an action, Julia can start a performance that lasts until the end of her next turn. And during that time, Julia and any friendly creatures within 30 feet of her have advantage on saving throws against being frightened or charmed. That's great! She can just regale you with her Sol Muniere story, and hearing it fills you with such, you know, such a thirst for life that you have a hard time being frightened. That's great. Also at 6th level, though, she's going to gain another Bard College feature from the College of Eloquence, and that is called Unfailing Inspiration, which is one of my favorite Bard abilities. Because you have a limited use of Bardic Inspiration, and once someone uses it, even if they fail, it's just gone. But now, when a creature adds one of Julia's Bardic Inspiration die to their ability check, attack roll, or saving throw, and the roll fails, the creature keeps their Bardic Inspiration die. How cool is that? So it's like, oh, I made my attack roll, I rolled my d8, and the attack still missed. I keep that 1d8 of inspiration with me. Very cool. She also gains another ability called Universal Speech. So now as an action, Julia will choose one or more creatures within 60 feet of her, up to a number equal to her charisma modifier. And the chosen creature can magically understand her regardless of the language Julia is speaking for 1 hour. She can use this feature once per long rest, unless she expends a spell slot to use it again. And I really like this because I think food is universal speech itself. You know, you can tell a lot about someone's culture from the food that they cook, you know, and I think this translates to her bringing French cooking to the American household. This universal speech of cuisine gave everyone access to French food. How great is that? Beautiful. Let's actually, am I gonna do this? No, I'm not gonna do it. I was considering jumping back into Rogue for a couple levels, but I think she has everything she needs from Rogue, okay? So let's continue on with... Actually, okay, changed my mind yet again. We're going back into Rogue for 4th level. So now a 10th level character, 4th level in Rogue. That's another ability score improvement that we are going to use to bump that wisdom from a 6 to an 8. So there. Now that is a -1 modifier, which does actually help quite a bit. Now we're going back in Bard. I think we're going back in Bard for 7th level, and we are going to stay there. So 7th level in Bard, 11th overall, she's going to gain access to 4th level Bard spells. 8th level in Bard, 12th overall, that's another ability score improvement. We're going to bump up Wisdom from an 8 to a 10, which is now a plus 0 modifier. And I don't think we're going to increase wisdom anymore. I think we used 2 full ability score improvements to increase it. We can't waste any more on it. Okay? We're good. 9th level in Bard, 13th overall, her Song of Rest increases from healing 1d6 to 1d8 during a short rest. So just a little bit more potency there. It doesn't seem like a lot. Like, oh, they heal an additional D8 as a 13th level character. That's not a ton. But it's free healing. And there's no limit to the amount of times she can do it. So as long as someone has the hit dice to regain hit points, they can heal an additional D8. And I love that. 10th level in Bard, 14th overall. Her Bardic Inspiration die increases from a D8 to a D10. Additionally, she gains expertise again. So she can increase another 2 of her skill proficiencies. I think we're gonna do stealth and investigation, right? Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so boom, stealth and investigation both have the proficiency bonuses doubled. That's incredible. She has 6 skill proficiencies with the proficiency bonus doubled. Amazing. Also at 10th level, last thing she gets is magical secrets. So now she can choose 2 spells from any class to learn. The spell she chooses has to be of a level she can cast, or a cantrip. So at 10th level, she can cast 5th level spells, and these can be 5th level spells from any class. So she can learn, like, okay, she cooks with a gas stove, but say, it just won't light. Let me use a 5th level spell to conjure a fire elemental and just use them to cook the food. She can do that now. She can just conjure elemental. Or she can learn, like, steel wind strike and use her knife and make really quick attacks on 5 creatures she can see within 30 feet of her. And on a hit, the target will take 6d10 force damage, and then Julia can teleport to an unoccupied space she can see within 5 feet of one of the targets she hit or missed. She can just do that now. Isn't that fun? All right, let's continue on. 11th level in Bard, 15th overall. She's going to gain access to 6th level Bard spells. 12th level in Bard, 16th overall. That's an ability score improvement. And I think we're going to bump her charisma from a 16 to an 18. So that is now a +4 modifier. Okay. 13th level in Bard, 17th overall. She's going to gain a Song of Rest improvement. So now it is a D10 of healing. 14th level in Bard, 18th overall. She's going to gain Magical Secrets again. And also a Bard College feature. So Magical Secrets, she now has access to 7th level spells. She can learn another 2 spells from any class up to 7th level. She can just learn Revivify and bring people back from the dead. No big deal. Not a problem for Julia Child. She can just feed you one of her French omelets, and it's so good, you have to come back to life. But she also gets a Bard College feature from the College of Eloquence, and this is the last ability she gets from this, called Infectious Inspiration. Again, such an incredible ability. College of Eloquence is easily one of my favorite Bard subclasses. So now when a creature within 60 feet of Julia adds one of her Bardic Inspiration dice to their ability check, attack roll, or saving throw, and the roll succeeds, Julia can use her reaction to encourage a different creature other than herself that can hear her within 60 feet of her and give them the Bardic Inspiration die without expending any of her Bardic Inspiration uses. She can use this reaction a number of times equal to her charisma modifier per long rest. What this means is if someone fails using her Bardic Inspiration, they can keep their Bardic Inspiration die, and if they succeed, Julia can just use that inspiration to inspire someone else and just keep using these Bardic Inspiration die. Effectively, if she times the reactions properly, she can increase the amount of Bardic Inspiration she gives out by, you know, times 2. Because she can use Infectious Inspiration 4 times and 4 uses of Bardic Inspiration. Oh my god. It's just such a good ability. Truly, truly is. All right, let's do 15th level in Bard, 19th overall. Her Bardic Inspiration maxes out. So her Bardic Inspiration goes from a D10 to a D12. Incredible. 16th level in Bard, 20th level, the final level, she gains an ability score improvement. Now, we can max out her charisma. We can do that. We can max out her charisma, bring it to a +5, but I don't think we're gonna do that. I think we're gonna give her a feat, and we are going to give her the chef feat. Because of course we are. We gave her gourmand because she has this incredible love of food. But now chef, she's the French chef. We're gonna give her the chef feat. She can increase her constitution or wisdom by 1. So this won't change the modifiers at all. Let's just put it into wisdom because we've been placing a lot of things in there. Then she also gains proficiency with cook's utensils if she doesn't already have it. Well, she already has it. That's fine. So now, as part of a short rest, Julia can cook special food, provided she has ingredients and cook's utensils on hand. She can prepare enough of this food for a number of creatures equal to 4 plus her proficiency bonus. Well, she's 20th level, so proficiency bonus is plus 6, so she can prepare enough for 10 creatures. At the end of the short rest, any creature who eats the food and spends one or more hit dice to regain hit points regains an extra 1d8 hit points. So that's a lot like her Song of Rest. So during a short rest, she can heal someone this chef feat ability 1d8 plus her Song of Rest 1d10, potentially healing 18 points per short rest. That's incredible. Also, with 1 hour of work or when Julia finishes a long rest, she can cook a number of treats equal to her proficiency bonus, so 6 treats. These treats last 8 hours, and a creature can use a bonus action to eat one of these treats to gain temporary hit points equal to Julia's proficiency bonus. That's incredible. They can just use a bonus action to gain 6 temporary hit points. It's not a ton, but I mean, I've played enough D&D to know 6 hit points can be the difference between life or death. Truly. Oh, so that is Julia. That is Julia Child. So Julia Child, the French chef. Her background is spy, race, variant human. She's a level 4 Inquisitor Rogue and a level 16 College of Eloquence Bard. It's really funny to see Inquisitor Rogue by the name Julia Child. It's great. Her ending stats are 14 Strength, 16 Dexterity, 16 Constitution, 12 Intelligence, 11 Wisdom, and 18 Charisma. We did some heavy lifting with those, huh? For skill proficiencies, she has plus 8 to Athletics, plus 10 to Deception, plus 12 to Insight, plus 13 to Investigation, plus 12 to Perception, plus 16 to Performance, and plus 15 to Sleight of Hand and Stealth. Julia Child having a plus 15 to stealth is hilarious. She's this 6'2" woman with such a recognizable voice. Having a plus 15 to stealth is so good. Saving throws, she has plus 9 to dexterity saving throws and plus 7 to intelligence saving throws. So good luck hitting her with a fireball. She's so good at dodging. Languages, she has Common, Elvish, and Thieves' Cant. For tool proficiencies, she's proficient in Disguise Kit, Forgery Kit, Cook's Utensils, Thieves' Tools, and Piano. And for feats, she has Gourmand and Chef. And with the Gourmand feat, it says if she already has the Cook's Utensils proficiency, she gains Expertise with Cook's Utensils. So I'm going to say she has Expertise with Cook's Utensils. She's so good at cooking. Okay, so my idea of Julia Child. Okay, let's see. Let me try to imagine Julia Child in pitched combat. Okay. I think I got it. So she is recording her show, The French Chef, right? And everything is going swimmingly. She's making, what's a French dish? Croque Madame. When, wouldn't you know it, an enemy spy tried to poison her butter. But Julia, with the gourmand feet, can sniff out the poison in this butter. And she just goes, tisk tisk, trying to pull one over on me, Julia Child. She can then use her Inquisitor Rogue ability to search for a hidden enemy as a bonus action. Using her plus 12 to perception, she senses that this assailant has cast invisibility on themselves. Julia picks up a knife and launches it. Julia whips a knife at the creature because it has the ranged property. She can use her 2d6 of sneak attack because surely this invisible creature did not see her whipping a knife at them. Everyone's like, whoa, Julia,
the hell is this? Until the knife sinks in, the invisibility drops, and you see this assassin coming after Julia. Well, Julia is undeterred. They roll initiative, and she did poorly. So this assassin goes first. They whip some knives at Julia. Julia's armor class is not bad. She's gonna have like a 14 or 15 to her armor class. And with a +3 to constitution, she's got plenty of hit points. So they do a little damage with these poison tip needles. Oh, Julia's been poisoned. This isn't looking good. But then she says to all of her friends at WGBH, get them! She throws out a bardic inspiration to her husband, Paul Child, who I believe does judo, and as an action, casts protection from poison and disease on herself, neutralizing the poison, a spell she got from her magical secrets. The assailant, now outnumbered, now has their poison foiled, turns to leave, but is surrounded by a gaggle of Julia's friends and confidants who just beat their ass. The assassin gets a few swipes in, but Julia Child just uses mass cure wounds to heal everyone effortlessly. She has incredible, powerful healing and defensive magics, but it looks like the assassin is going to get away. What is Julia Child to do? Well, she has access to 8th level spells, so I'm gonna say she uses power word stun to stun the creature, locking them in place. First though, she's going to bonus action unsettling words to reduce the target's constitution saving throw by 1d12, ensuring that they will fail and be stunned. The dust settles, and it looks like her husband, Paul Child, was killed by this terrible assassin. Oh, everyone is so bereft. But then Julia Child just walks over and casts a 7th level resurrection, bringing them back from the dead. Everyone looks on in awe and fear as Julia Child takes his soul from the ether and puts it back into his body before going back on stage and continuing her lessons on The French Chef. Bon appétit! Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fantasize Me. Email in your character suggestions to me at fantasizemepod@gmail.com. Let me know who you want me to turn into a D&D character. It can be anyone. I've even done an inanimate object before with the Titanic. So get creative. I love it. I'll turn him into a D&D character. Again, that email is fantasizemepod@gmail.com. You can follow me over on Twitter, Blue Sky, YouTube, and Twitch, all under fantasizemepod. Remember to tell your friends, tell your enemies, and tell your friends' enemies about this podcast. Do it, I dare you. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll do this again soon. Bye.